Treasure, and they were using this to attempt to set up private right-wing militias. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, that becomes particularly pertinent when I reread the documents related to this as we were watching things unravel in Iraq. I was sort of stunned by the predictions that were made back in the mid-1980s. Essentially, the group that Casey and Singh Lab and others formed was called the Enterprise. And the Enterprise was based on figures like Lansdale, Klein, Singh Lab, and Casey, who had all begun their careers in the OSS during World War II. During the 1970s, there was quite a change in the makeup of the CIA, and a lot of the further right, or the black hats, found themselves out of jobs. And instead, they reformed privately and insisted then, as some still insist, that the White House needed a private clandestine service to carry out covert operations. They said that they needed a separate military-industrial complex, quote, controlled by us, unquote. Singh Lab became actively involved in efforts to recover Japanese loot in the Philippines in the mid-1980s. And as he says in his own biography, I knew about this, about the Japanese treasure sites in the Philippines from past experience. I knew the stories of buried Japanese gold were legitimate.
And of course, the Enterprise, the outgrowth of this, became better known for Oliver North and his off-the-shelf intelligence networks that became public information during the Iran-Contra affair. Peggy, we've just got a couple of minutes left. Recently, John Reed, the former CEO of Citibank, assumed a position as the interim head of the New York Stock Exchange by way of touching on some of the implications of the black gold for contemporary affairs. Tell us a little bit about John Reed and the role he plays in your book.
Okay, well, John Reed and Citibank have previously been subject of GAO investigations concerning money laundering for dictators around the world. The outcome of this investigation in the mid-1990s was a slap on the wrist, as we discuss in Gold Warriors. But as Robert Steele, one of the better-known reviewers for Amazon.com and an intelligence specialist, says he feels that in Gold Warriors we have provided a sufficiently compelling case to warrant an international investigation by the GAO concerning these issues. Further, in the early 1990s, Melvin Belli brought suit against John Reed and others in an attempt to recover gold belonging to Santa Romana's heirs. Belli wrote to Brian Greenspan, then editor-in-chief of the Las Vegas Sun, quote, "It may sound wild, and it did to me at first, but now I'm now convinced that some very important banks around the world did have deposits of Santa Romana's money, an offshoot of the Yamashita treasure." Belli's lawsuit was based on the principle of wrongful conversion of personal property. He went on to say, quote, "Defendant John Reed, the chairman and chief executive officer of Defendant Citibank, has spearheaded Citibank's conversion of gold bullion, which was owned by Santa Romana. Reed and Citibank have systematically sold and are selling said gold bullion to buyers and converting sales proceeds to their own use." Belli further brought charges of wrongful conversion against Chase Manhattan, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo.
Peggy, we're almost out of time. There's one more point I want to touch on. We've got to just hit this one really quickly.
Okay.
What you and Sterling describe as the last battle of the Pacific War in World War II began in the mid-1990s with a lawsuit by former Allied POWs to win compensation for their treatment at the hands of the Japanese as slave laborers. That lawsuit was rebuffed, and there was a vicious attack by U.S. State Department people. Tell us a little bit about the failure of that lawsuit and Messrs. Foley and LaFleur and their spouses.
Well, first of all, the Department of State and Department of Justice both used Article 14 of the 1951 Peace Treaty to prevent POWs and others from suing the Japanese corporations, Mitsubishi, Mitsui, and Sumitomo. It's interesting to note that Mrs. Foley, the wife of the ambassador to Tokyo, was herself at the time a paid consultant for Sumitomo, one of the named defendants. Since retiring from State Department, Mr. Foley himself has become a paid consultant of Mitsubishi.
These are two of the primaries, Ibatsu.
Yes.
Also, Mr. LaFleur was one of the State Department officials helping to squelch this, and he also was married to somebody very interesting.
Right. Mr. LaFleur said of these lawsuits that the peace treaty put aside all claims against Japan. The interesting thing is that this peace treaty was negotiated by his father-in-law. He was married to the daughter of Miyazawa Kishi, one of a handful of Japanese who negotiated the secret treaty terms with John Foster Dulles in 1951. Miyazawa was a highly placed official in the Ministry of Finance during World War II. He has continued to occupy a number of high positions in the Ministry of Finance and was at one time prime minister.
And as you point out, was one of the people in charge of the M Fund after the war.
Yes.
Peggy, that is all we have time for. First of all, let me thank you so much, and thank Sterling for this remarkable book. We have been visiting with Peggy Seagrave, whom, along with her husband Sterling Seagrave, are the authors of the newly published and consummately important Gold Warriors, America's Secret Recovery of Yamashita's Gold, published in hardcover by Verso. Peggy, thanks so much for visiting with us.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's been a pleasure.
This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 428, Gold Warriors, an interview with Peggy Seagrave, being recorded on October 6th of 2003. For Peggy Seagrave, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening.
Well, that was very interesting, Dave. Great show. Just chock full of loopy twaddle. How many ukulele Ike 78s did you hear in the past hour? You, the listener. Count them. There was none. How many Dinah Washington songs did you hear since 6 o'clock? I didn't think so. But you probably heard some Sophie Tucker on Dave's program, didn't you? You're shaking your head. Well, you're going to hear those things now. And WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope. Courtney T. Edison, the old codger. I'm a little sick. Smoking too many cigars. But it's getting to me. Damn. Well, anyway, welcome to Courtney's program, Playing 78s Like You're Going Out of Style. This is the place on the radio where memory lane is riddled with potholes. So we'll start out this week with Root Edding, one of my favorites.
I am one of the Hicks. I came here from the sticks, trying to find the kind of fame the name of Broadway stands for. I am one of the fools. I dreamt of riches and jewels. Now I awake find my mistake. Can't get a break. Broadway's a fake. I work in a speak that's dim and dingy. Spenders are pretenders, cheap and stingy. All I smell is rotten scotch and gin. Gee, cigarettes, cigars. Now I know what being too darn slow means. Among the gals who never learned what know means, they ask me, do I know what making dough means? Cigarettes, cigars. To heaven I just send up my lonely plea. Is this where I must end up? Oh, good Lord, answer me. Every morning when the nighttime dies out, I go home to sleep and weep my eyes out. You hear a broken heart that cries out. Cigarettes, cigars. Camels, Chesterfields, Lucky's, cigars. I peddle my wares to gay millionaires, to wise guys and hobos, street gals with nobles, to misers and spenders, bootleg vendors, all of them playing their trumps. I won't let them maul me, and so they all call me the fool, the virgin, the child. Every morning when the nightshades fade out, I see all the tramps and drunks parade out. While I sing to the last one who is laid off, cigarettes,
oh.
Okay, that was an old 78 that's by Marcia Freer. I didn't know her. And personally, certainly not in the biblical sense. That was a song called When Lights Are Low. Before that was Ruth Etting. And she did cigars and cigarettes, which will be your downfall. I'm not saying it'll kill you. And these things become habits. And after a while, you drive your friends away. Hey, let me think about that. That may be a good thing in some cases. Anyway, this is the Old Codger on WFMU. I've said before, I'm sick. This is the first time I've had a cold since 1931. That was the last time I forgot to tip the paper boy. So that serves me right. But I'm not the only one who's under the weather. Lola Bell Pancake, you know her. Lola Bell Pancake is my agent. And she had to go to the doctor. Wasn't feeling right. You know what happened? They did a diagnosis. Lola Bell, she lost her spunk. So she had to go to a spunk specialist. A spunkologist it was. And fortunately, her insurance covered it. Medicaid or something. And they ran some analysis on her intestinal fortitude. And they found that Lola Bell had a severe moxie deficiency. And she had low levels of pluck, problems with her gall and her backbone, shortage of crust, an aversion to audacity, high levels of apprehension, and a whole load of other symptoms. So they gave her spunk regeneration exercises to build up the spunk muscles in her guts and in her spine, especially, to put her on a special spunk-rich diet. It's tough when you lose your spunk, especially at such a young age. Lola Bell's only 92. I hope she recovers, because she's my agent. And you know what they say? You remember what they say, don't they? I'm trying to think now. It's been a while since they said it. What they said was, an agent without spunk is like a vicious chow dog without fangs. Or it's like a birthday cake without blasting caps. Or it's like a rhinoceros without a Bachelor of Science degree. It's like a calendar without July. I don't know what the hell it is. Something. I don't know what. Anyway, good luck to you, Lola Bell, out there. Hope you get your spunk back. And Molasses Hathaway is out there, my friend. He was diagnosed. Terrible case of grind-hoosering pilferons. This is a very rare and painful condition. And it's also somewhat embarrassing. At least that's what he says. You'll have to check your medical dictionary. I don't have one. Grind-hoosering pilferons. Anyway, Blossom Moskowitz, of course, my girlfriend, she has a fever. That is, she has a fever. Blossom is incredibly hot. How hot? Well, the climatologists have determined that Blossom is personally responsible for 80% of global warming. Oh, I'm going over there later to help her cool down. Well, anyway, we go back to the music now. A beautiful singer here. I think you're going to like her. Very smooth voice. Her name is Leona Anderson on the Old Codger Radio Show.
From Brazil to the Argentine, my only name is Tambourine. Tambourine, I hate the name of Tambourine. I lost the law to intervene, for my real name is Geraldine. When I go walking, I often sing a little song and accompany myself on the instrument I brought along. Then I always meet some rude men upon the village green. And in very oblique one of them will shout at me. Oh, see what I mean. Tambourine! Everyone calls me tambourine. I can't imagine what they mean. Why do they call me
thank you. know it was right in this show. You're Miss Alice Brown. You wanna give all of them doggone children stuff. And my rule is that you can't get rough.
Now I'm there.
What?
Old street bank.
What's wrong with you, bank?
I'm a hustler.
Hustler what?
Get some off that avenue bank. And I'm known to be quite rough.
You're rough enough for me, Daddy.
And I'll call any hardest bluff.
But let me tell you something. Now, when you stumble in to my door, are you going to get an awful blow? And when that piano starts to play, one of them low-down strings, you're going to hear your mama when she sings.
What you gonna say?
You know my mama didn't do it, and my papa didn't do it, and you ain't gonna do it here. Now, Daddy, don't get drunk someplace else. And come in my house and try to show yourself. You know I sell most everything here, from tiddlin' down to home brew beer.
But you know I always break up all them tiddlin' struts.
You know I'm a big enough mama to break up my own done stuff.
Wow.
You know my mama didn't do it, my papa didn't do it, and you ain't gonna do it, yeah. Now, look here, Papa. You don't know who I am.
And to tell the truth, Mama, I really don't give a...
Now, listen, honey.
Uh-huh.
You know there's a whole lot of things that we cats won't do.
Yeah, you better get out my face before I start to cussing you.
Now, you know, this is my house, honey. I really don't have to pay no rent.
Yeah, when we're hitting the head with a brick and try to learn you some sense.
Why, you big horny crow. You really had your chance.
Oh, you do.
Now, Fat Mama's gonna send you home in our animal ass.
Why?
You know my mama didn't do it. My papa didn't do it. And you ain't gonna do it. Yeah. I'm lame.
Yeah.
Yeah, that 78 RPM record, that's everything is that you hear on this program. That's all we play. 78. I don't touch the compact discs because I think they are radioactive and they make you impotent. I don't like the long playing records, the cassettes, the 8-track tapes that the kids are using these days. I don't like those either. It's only good for playing hippie music. We don't play any hippie music. Yeah, this is the old codger. I'm sick today. You can hear him all stuffed up. It's not as bad as it sounds, you know. I mean, poor Rummy with his grind hoosering pilferons or molasses, whoever has them. I forget. They're all a sick bunch, my cronies. I just heard from the Raymond Scott Quintet playing Brass Buttons and Epaulettes. Before that was Coot Grant and Kid Wilson singing Mama Didn't Do It and Papa Didn't Do It. I leave you to wonder what it was that they didn't do. The Clarence Williams Trio did Liza, All the Clouds Will Roll Away. Dinah Washington did Don't Come Knocking at My Door, and the great Leona Anderson, fine, fine woman. She ran for president many, many years ago, and she narrowly lost, very, very close. Unlike some people now claiming they're the first woman to run for president, it was Leona Anderson, if anybody ever asks you. It was Leona. Back in 32, she lost to Roosevelt and Al Flanden. She came in it was a distant third. Anyway, where was I? Totally lost my thinking now, because my head is all stuffed up. But anyway, this is the old codger, Courtney T. Edison, on WFMU, playing 78 RPM records. I know what it was I was going to say about those compact discs. What I don't like about them is that there's no surface noise. I need that bed of surface noise. I find it very comforting. I hope you do, too. Now, I want to speak to your listeners out there calling me up, writing me letters. If you want to write, it's okay. If you want to call me at home, it's okay. Remember my phone number at home. Same phone number I've had since 1892. Write it down. Go get a pencil. My phone number, I think it's pretty easy to remember. My phone number is 6. So anyway, a guy's been calling me here at the radio station when I do the program every 2 weeks. And he's been bothering me on the phone during my show. He likes me. Says we have a lot in common. And he's a telephone stalker, I guess. Says we like the same music. We have the same likes and the same dislikes. He's convinced that we have so much in common. His name is Grubbage. Like the car, he says. I'm thinking, what is there, a car named Grubbage? What's with this guy? Anyway, here's what I can't figure out. I mean, I could leave him, hang up or something, but he keeps telling me to look at his space page. I have no idea what he's talking about. He says, dude. He calls me dude. That's pretty offensive, eh? He says, dude. He says, check out my space page. And I'm thinking, what does he mean by his space page? I don't know where his space page is. What is it? So I looked in the newspaper, but there were no space pages. Unless he meant the classifieds, space for rent. But I wouldn't have that in common with anyone, because there's no space in my house. It's all used up with 78 RPM records. Anyway, this Grubbage, I don't know. If anybody out there knows where I can find his space page, you just drop me a letter, okay? Well, as you know, if you listen to the old Kaiser radio show on a regular basis, which is recommended, of course, I have sponsors. We play commercials to pay the bills here, unlike the other snooty programs on WFMU who claim they don't need the money. They don't do it for the money. They do it for the love of radio. I think they're a bunch of buffoons. So, we have a commercial here now. The commercials, of course, are on 70 RPM records as well. So, on WFMU, here is our sponsor, Synologen.
We all know people like Marion. Worried, overwrought, and resentful. And most of us get that way ourselves at times. But when you keep feeling that life's unfair, take care. Take Synodogen. Aspro gets through. New Aspro gets through and starts work 2.5 times faster. But when you keep feeling that life's unfair, Synodogen puts an end to nervous tension. An 8-week course of Synodogen, Synodogen provides the nutrients your nerves require. We all know people like Mary, worried, overwrought, and resentful. And most of us get that way ourselves at times. But when you keep feeling that life's unfair, take care. Take Synodogen. Synodogen puts an end to nervous tension. An 8-week course of Synodogen provides the nutrients your nerves require to cope with life's stresses and strains. Synodogen puts an end to nervous tension. We all know people like Mary, worried, overwrought, and resentful. And most of us get that way ourselves at times. But when you keep feeling that life's unfair, take care. Take Synodogen. An 8-week course of Synodogen provides the nutrients your nerves require to cope with life's stresses and strains. Synodogen puts an end to nervous tension.
That is a word from our sponsor, Synodogen. Use Synodogen when you're suffering from nervous tension or grindhusering pilferans. Okay, it's time now for Sophie Tucker. Of course, you knew you were going to hear some Sophie Tucker today on the program. So here, she's good for what ails you, no matter what you're suffering from.
Guess you all no doubt have heard, and the press had spread around the word, that I made a talkie film some time ago inside a picture studio. And of course you know how press agents are. They tell me that I'm a star.
A talkie star?
Yes, Ted, I'm all set.
There's been no scandal about you yet.
What do you mean, scandal, eh?
Well, no stolen husband, a duke from France.
Say, what's the rush? Give me a chance. There's nothing done in Hollywood that Sophie can't do just as good.
Just as good? Even better.
I hope you mean that as a compliment. As I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, Honky Tonk, perhaps you've seen, I hope you like me on the spree. I guess you went to hear me sing and talk, make love and everything.
You said make love?
Of course, and say, if they had only let me have my way,
the censors would have thrown a fit.
In spite of it all, I would have been a bigger hit.
Tell me, now that it's all done, in Hollywood, did you have fun?
Oh, did I have fun in Hollywood?
I'd like to know.
Hollywood will never be the same. This red-hot mama set the town aflame. I went to some of those wild parties I'd heard about. I started making whoopee and 50 guests were carried out. They told me how naughty it would be. Why, it was a Sunday school picnic to me. I hate to brag, but all the men grew as wild as they knew how. I even vamped all the cowboys away from their pet cows. I sent them home all crippled up and lame. And Hollywood will never be the same. To tell you my experience would take too long, I fear. But I'm going to tell you one or two things that perhaps you'd like to hear. At first, my director said he'd like to test me, and I let him know that I'd been tested by experts and okay long ago. Soon we started shooting scenes, in came my leading man, My director said, Sophie, make love to him and do the best you can. Folks, I went right to it, and what happened, I forget. You see, it was a year ago in January, and the poor guy is unconscious yet. Then the sheik started after me. I couldn't keep them away. Even Rin Tin Tin himself chased me 7 blocks one day. And up and down those Beverly Hills, I gave them all plenty of thrills. A certain star spent an evening alone with me, and I'll have you know that an evening alone with me is like 3 weekends with Clara Bow. I sent them home all crippled up and lame, and Hollywood will never be the same.
Thank you. Where's Joe?
I don't know.
You used to love him,
but not no more. I was supposed to let Joe go, because Joe didn't know the score. I took him out the gutter, nursed him like a mother, taught him his P's and Q's, to wear tie and collar, to make an easy dollar. But he just gave me the blues.
Where's Joe?
I don't know.
You used to love him,
but not no more. I made my new man run him out of town, because I did not want that frantic freak sneaking round.
May have time for me to interrupt the fine music with the playlist. To run down the list of the songs that were played. That's why it's called a playlist on the Old Codger Radio Show. That's me, Courtney T. Edison, the Old Codger, here every Tuesday on WFMU. So, that was Blue Lou Barker, recorded in the late 1940s on glorious 70 RPM records, I might say, and a song called Where's Joe. Before that was Moondog. Lewis Hardin. I used to see him in New York on the corner of 54th Street, 6th Avenue, something like that, Moondog's Corner. He was a fine man. He was blind. But he was quite resourceful. Used to build instruments and talk to people and smelled funny. But he made some fine music. So that was Moondog with the 78 RPM record on the SMC label that stood for the Spanish Music Center. Oboe Rounds it was with Chant and All Is Loneliness from Moondog. Well, you didn't think I'd play Moondog, did you? Think I'm just playing old down and dirty rhythm and blues, eh? And old double entendre type songs, risque stuff from vaudeville, eh? No, I'm hip. Well, and we heard Sophie Tucker. Oh, Sophie, what a woman. A woman of tremendous avoirdupois. Ah, when Sophie was hired to perform in theaters, she didn't need a cabaret license. She needed a building permit. But there she was singing the song Hollywood Will Never Be the Same. Yes, Sophie Tucker. On the Old Codger Radio Show. Here at WFMU. I'm here until 8 o'clock. Wish I could figure out how to lock the door so the next disc jockey couldn't come in here. And because I got plenty of music. I could... Well, the cows already came home. But I could be playing 78 for a really long time. Okay, we'll go back to the music now. This is, we got Zuzu Bolin. Yes, Zuzu Bolin. This is from 1951.
Baby! Make it!
Thank you. how you slept last night. Why don't you eat? Eat where you slept last night. Yes, eat with me, baby, everything's gonna be alright.
Today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Every teddy bear who's been good is sure of a treat today. There's lots of marvelous things to eat and some wonderful games to play. Beneath the trees where nobody sees, they'll hide and seek as long as they please, 'cause that's the way the teddy bears have their picnic. Down in the woods today, you better not go alone. It's lovely down in the woods today, but safer to stay at home. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic.
Picnic time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them catch them unawares, and see them picnic on their holiday. See them gaily gad about, they love to play and shout, they never have any cares. At 6 o'clock their mummies and daddies will take them home to bed, because they're tired little teddy bears. Bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them catch them unawares, and see them picnic on their holiday. See them gaily gad about, they love to play and shout, they never have any cares. At 6 o'clock their mummies and daddies will take them home to bed, because they're tired little teddy bears.
They're so drowsy, so sleepy, they're tired little teddy bears.
Was a golfing man. He'd golf from morn till night. He had a mama, a loving mama. He didn't treat her right. He'd come home all tired out, and right to bed he'd go. His mama soon got tired of this, and these words she whispered low. She says, "Golfin', Papa, you're way over par. You'll have to stop putting on the green. You've had your way on the fairway. You know just what I mean. Now your stance is perfect, your aim is true, but Papa, when you drive, you fail to follow through. Golfing, Papa, you're way over par. You'll have to stop putting on the green. Use your your niblet, you'll have to stop putting on the green. Now what you need is a golfing coach. You're all right on your drive, but bad on your approach. What you want, your mama has got. But son, you'd better practice your explosion shot. Now listen, Papa, you must learn your stuff. Cause when you drive, you slice and go right in the rough. From paying green fees, you've got me broke. Your shafts are bent and now you've lost your master's stroke. So pack your golf bag, you've had your fun. I found another man who's made a hole in one. Golfing, Papa, you're way over par. You'll have to stop putting on the green. Turn in your scorecard. You'll have to stop putting on the green.
Rejoice and be glad, for the springtime has come. We can throw down our shovels and go on the bum. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. Springtime has come, and I'm just out of jail, without any money, without any bail. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. I went to a house and I rapped on the door, and the lady said, bum, bum, you've been here before. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. I like Jim Hill, he's a good friend of mine. That is why I am hiking down Jim Hill's main line. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. I went to a house and I asked for some bread, and the lady said, bum, bum, the baker is dead. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. Why don't you work like other men do? Now how could I work when there's no work to do? Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. Why don't you save all the money you earn? If I didn't eat, I'd have money to burn. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. I don't like work, and work don't like me, and that is the reason I am so hungry. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again.
Man, that was a hobo Jack Turner. And he was a hobo. A hobo with a recording studio. Very unusual back in the Depression for a hobo to have his own recording studio and make records. But it was portable. He kept it in his knapsack. Very, very resourceful man, that hobo Jack Turner. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Before that was Mamie Smith with Golfin' Papa. Do we even play it? I don't even remember if we played it or not. Bing Crosby did Teddy Bear's Picnic. And Zuzu Bolin did Why Don't You Eat Where You Slept Last Night. Wonderful song. Wonderful sentiments. Yes. Speaking of wonderful sentiments, I had a friend. Maybe you've heard of him. His name is Dale Carnegie. He wrote this book. Well, anyway, you know Dale Carnegie. He was a friend of mine years and years ago. He's always going on about what was wrong with me. Like he was so perfect. He had this messiah complex. He wouldn't leave me alone. Yak, yak, yak. Blah, blah, blah. Told me that if I followed his advice, people would like me. He said to stop criticizing and complaining. He told me to be a good listener. Well, I listened to the 78s very closely, you know. Of course, he didn't tell it to Dale. He didn't want to be contradicted. He said I should make other people feel important. He told me I should smile more. So finally, I told Dale, I said, shut up and write a book. And he did. And he was very successful. So successful that he became very busy. And he stopped. He was going around signing copies of his book at the bookstores. And he was so busy, he stopped talking to me. For which I am grateful. These damn do-gooders. Rummy Delbarton wasn't so lucky. He got Dale riled up one day so much that Dale Carnegie decided there was one person, only one, besides me, whose friendship he didn't care to win. So he wound up and he threw the book at Rummy. I don't mean figuratively either, I mean literally, right back of the head. Oh, he has quite a right arm, that Dale Carnegie. He could have been a pitcher. But he wrote a book. And then nobody ever heard of him again, till now. Well, I got time for one more song, and then Mr. Sharpling comes in and does the second best radio show on WFMU, after the Codger, of course. So here's one more song on 78 RPM Record. Well, that was so bad. John Burkhart, and light as a feather, an old 1911, very rare, very delicate 70 RPM record, played for you on the Old Gods radio show. Here, it's a radio show. They said, you know, they say radio is a dying medium. Well, they said the same thing about me 50 years ago. But you know, people, they still read the Farmer's Almanac. People still drink, even despite prohibition. People still listen to 78 RPM records. In my house, anyway. Well, I'm going to go home and do all three right now. So you stay tuned for Sharpling on the second best radio show on WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope. I'll be back in 2 weeks. I'm the Old Codger. Goodbye.
Radio show ever.
Hey, who's this?
Mark.
Well, I am Buddy Swales, governor of Alabama.
Hi, it's Gerald Perlmutter.
Tom Sharpling, governor of party.
Hey, Tom, it's Purple Sir.
Hey, Tom, it's Mark Michaels.
This is Richard Clark from Chicago.
What's your name?
Barrington.
Barrington. And well, what's inside the tube?
Fire. Why? Maurice Kern?
Horrifying.
Hey, Tom, it's Bruce.
Tommy!
Who's this?
Gingivitis.
Gingivitis.
Yeah.
They have Rick Maloney at the Wawa. I go to
what? I hate you.
It's Peter.
Hey, it's Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
You are creepy and I'm hanging up on you. Boing.
Roger Devlin.
My name is Ali Farinaki.
I'll say it. You'll hear it. You'll do it. I'll get it. You'll learn it. I'll live with it and you'll die without it.
Smash or trash.
Derek, I'm constantly called.
Good day.
What's up, Tom? This is Tristan.
Hey, it's Michelle.
Yeah, Tom, this is Jim Riffle. How you doing?
When I get to do the toilet talk now.
The vaudeville of the new century.
My name is Tom Riley. I'm calling from New Zealand.
Hey, man. Right.
Ted, don't stand with that tentpole. This is a tentpole show.
Hey, this is Ted Leo.
What?
This is Petey from the future.
Hi, Tom. It's DJ Terry T.
Hey, from Knoxville.
Super caller.
Officer Tom.
My name is Mike Sajak.
Get off my phone. I don't care.
Hey, this is Zippy Pants, man.
I'm going to go to bed now, Fopper.
Hey, Tom. It's Gord.
Hey, Gord. How are you?
I was in a band in the early 90s. My name is Jerry Page.
Tom, my name is Jeffrey Luther. It's a fat, diseased, wild orangutan, isn't it?
The disenfranchised have a home now. I'm the hero of the disenfranchised.